What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. Me and B holding it down in Ashburn, Virginia, home of the 3-1 Washington Commanders, first place in the NFC East. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I am good, brother. What's happening with you?
Chilling, man. Easy ride out here. We live in a place that never stops raining.
Don't talking about it because it can be like it was last week.
That's true. That's true. But apparently rain. So today was the first time I've driven over the American Legion Bridge. Do you know what the American Legion Bridge used to be called? I just found this out, and I did not know this. Mm-mm. According to Ben Standing, that's my source on this.
I would not listen to Ben.
It used to be called the Cabin John Bridge.
But there's still a Cabin John Bridge over there somewhere.
There's a little Cabin joint John that's the Cabin John Highway, Bridge. Yeah. That is how I like sneak home.
Well, it probably was. But then when you start getting a little bigger, you can't be Cabin John.
Well,
you got to get somebody's name on it or something.
But it's not like naming rights. It's not like Northwest Stadium. Like, the American Legion didn't pay for that. You know what I mean?
They didn't pay for it, but, you know, people always, they do that stuff to honor certain places.
So here's a question for you. Woodrow Wilson High School in D.C., right there on Nebraska Ave, mm-hmm. like Tenleytown, is now called Freedom Jackson, I believe. Mm-hmm. You think they'll change the name of the bridge?
Maybe.
I don't know. They haven't. But
they haven't yet. But
it's tough to be a old name because the world is a-changing. Hey. Hell, we're at Commander's Park.
Change is going to come.
One way or another. So, obviously, the topic that has kind of taken over, I think a little bit – I understand why it's such a big deal nationally, but I just don't understand why it's such a big deal locally. Davante Adams.
You don't understand why it's a big deal locally. Have you not noticed that every time someone becomes free or it seems to be available, we always want them in this area? Because we still have the mindset of what we've had before. We're always looking to sign a big name. We never, ever think about building something from the ground up the right way. So as soon as someone becomes free with the name, we want him. No matter what his reason for leaving the other place, we want him. That's all it is.
Listen, man. This is just reported. So when the plan is to take calls on this, and hell, we will take your calls. I want somebody to convince me why they should do it outside of just Devontae's a great player.
So we have, I do the riding 30. We do our little bike rides and stuff. So we have a text thread. So one of the guys said, I would rather be playing with him than against him. Dude, you think like that. Athletes don't think like that. If he's on another team, I'll bust his ass.
Also, you know what I'm saying? They don't play the Raiders. You're not going to play. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, he's thinking if he were to go to, like, another person in the division or something like that. But let's be real. When Jahan left, everybody said the exact same thing. Why would we let him go to our division? He's going to go there and get better. He looked just like he did when he was here now.
Schefter also, I think this is quite pertinent to the story. Two teams high on Davante Adams' wish list of places to land, if not at the very top.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Jets and probably
– ding.
It's two teams in the South, Cowboys and possibly the Saints.
According to Schefter, it's Jets and Saints. Adams ideally would like to play with a quarterback he knows. The Jets have former teammate Aaron Rodgers, and the Saints have former teammate Derek Carr. The Raiders had freaking David Carr.
Okay, now, since he said that, everybody in this town – give him the one-finger salute, let him go to one of those teams. Because you remember, Ayuk played with Jaden, but Ayuk was trying to use Jaden to get more money for San Fran. And that's why he stayed in San Fran. So let's not worry about him. Go where the hell he want to go. He didn't like D.C. anyway.
He just badmouthed D.C.
So
like
you know what I say? Bleep you, Devontae.
Damn, be going hard on a Wednesday morning. Schefter also reporting that despite any speculation, Kansas City is not an option. I don't think the Raiders.
If he didn't ask for San Francisco, did I say we should check his mentality, probably put him in an insane asylum? If he wouldn't ask for Kansas City.
I don't think Mark Davis would trade him there.
I'm just
ever.
Saying. I think he has some level of control. If he's not asking to go play with Pat Mahomes, knowing that they need a receiver, he's a damn fool.
I like
Aaron. Aaron's talent on the field. I think he's a psychopath. David Carr, but if you don't want to go play with Pat Mahomes, if you're a receiver, you try to get traded and go somewhere. You don't request that. At least request it. You got to be a dummy.
I, I hear you. I don't think he's technically requesting anything. I think they're backdooring all this. And I think part of Mark Davis's willingness to make this deal is that he's telling whoever he's backdooring with, hell no, I'm not sending him to the Chiefs.
I'm not worried about Mushroom.
I think
that's how his haircut looked like.
I think he's going to the Jets. I think he's been going to the Jets. I don't really see another scenario here. Maybe the Saints, maybe the Cowboys. I read this morning. People have bet up the Commanders in such a way that depending where you're getting your odds from, the Commanders are now second. According to the sports books, getting hammered with a flurry of Commanders bets, who when this nonsense opened were 100-1 8 days ago.
100-1 to do what?
To actually trade for Davante Adams. 100-1 means that ain't gonna happen.
So what is it? What is it now?
It's now up to 3-1. I think that's just people taking the bait and betting this rather than any.
You know who loves that?
Vegas.
Yeah. I will sell my naming rights for the next building.
Right.
Call it Mitchell Casino because like you're gonna get a lot of money from a lot of people that bet bad.
Listen, I think we talked about this yesterday. I understand like this dude named Booger who responded to us, B. Immediately elevate your wide receivers to arguably the best in the NFL? Yes. If your take is Devontae's a Hall of Famer and we want him.
I understand that.
I can understand that.
See, this is the problem with people. They only think one way. They never think about the other side. What do you have to give up for it?
So the word is, the reporting, I think this is from Schefter, that, or maybe it was Rapp, they want at least a second.
At least a second. But possibly more.
Sure. A second plus other stuff.
Yeah. So
whether it's a player or whatever.
What I'm saying is, I've always heard people throw out these things like that. But then, once they start talking, we can't give up this, we can't give up that. No. If you are that gung-ho, you should be able to give up anything for a person. But if you have any angst about what you have to give up, then you don't do the deal. We just see a name. And I'm tired in this area that every name that's available, we think we got to have them.
Listen, Davante Adams is a fantastic player. I think he's arguably – I think he'll go down in history as one of the greatest red zone threats ever at the receiver position. There's no denying that he's a fantastic player.
Yeah.
But this offense is third in the NFL in points scored and sixth in yards. And they have a young quarterback. They're talking about a long-term build-out, a long-term to be a consistent contender over time. You're going to trade a second-round pick, maybe plus other stuff. There's no way, he has no guaranteed money on his deal next year.
Yeah.
You think this trade comes through without also wanting a renegotiated contract?
Because
I think it does.
I say this. I listened to Troy Aikman. I've listened to several other former quarterbacks, Tom Brady, discussing Jaden. And Tom Brady last night, when I was listening to his thing, where he made him one of his top three stars of the week, he said, this kid gets it. He's passing, he's spreading the ball around, and that's how you make an offense basically unstoppable. Davante Adams don't want you spreading the ball around. He wants 12 to 15 targets a game. Does that affect how your offense is moving right now? Does that affect the growth of what's going on? You know, so I think fans have the right to be as fanatical as they want to be. Okay, but that man that's sitting over in the building, not far from us right now, AP, he understands he has to worry about the dynamics of what goes on. And if he doesn't want to do it, I'm with him. If he wants to entertain it, cool, because he has a hold and a feel of what this is. You get what I'm saying? Most fans just say stuff just to say it. They don't have a feel. They don't think. They think they know more than what's happening in the locker room. And that's cool. You have that right to think that way. But you don't. Okay? And the people that are making those decisions, allow them to do their job. Point blank.
If the news emerges, I can tell you this much. The people running the Commanders don't say much.
They're
to
smart.
Anyone.
They are smart.
But I'm not expecting to, like, all of a sudden, Commanders in deep negotiations with Raiders over this trade. If Peters decides that's the right move, cool. I think if you look at the fact that I honestly don't know the last time this happened, and you don't want to make it too big of a thing, But they got two players plucked off their practice squad in one day. That happened Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You look at some of the guys they had to cut are actually getting signed by other teams. KJ Henry signed to the active in Dallas. You look at this Jahan Dotson trade that it looks like they sure won. It's early. Who knows? There's a lot of football left. But, you know.
I don't know. They go into Covey a lot.
Sure. But maybe he turns things around. Maybe the offense
SWG,
gets hot.
They go into SWG a lot, man.
I just think. You got to – if Peters decides, yeah, we want to do this one, Devontae's just that good, okay.
Yeah.
But I think he certainly deserves – it. One, I think there was a period of time there where we were saying just give him the benefit of the doubt. Now I think you can argue he deserves it, right?
Who?
Peters.
Peters has the right to go and do what he wants to do at this point. He was hired to come in here and build something. And I think he's going to make decisions that's going to build this thing how he wants it to be built. He's not swayed by what the fans say. He's not swayed by what you and I say. He's not swayed with nobody else. He's going to do what they decide, and that's cool. They seem to have a great chemistry. Listen, if somebody was letting go a top-notch defensive player, I can understand everybody losing their minds. But when your offense is doing what they're doing, I don't understand it. That's not the part of the team that needs to be enhanced right now. You know what I mean? So I just don't like the fact that we seem to be going back to what we were in, what was it, 99, 2000. Everything that comes available, oh, we want it. Sometimes when something becomes available, it doesn't work.
The only thing that I think is cool about this, I think if this was Sam Howell or Dwayne Haskins or Case Keenum or Ryan Fitzpatrick or Alex Smith or Carson Wentz, I think if this was any collection of quarterbacks that have been here since Kirk, you wouldn't even have this conversation. Because Devontae Adams...
We might not have it, but the people that are saying they want him, they will. Every time somebody become free,
fine.
They wanted them every year.
But you couldn't validate it. I do think having Jaden Daniels all of a sudden changes the perception of who wants to come to Washington.
It does.
Now, Devontae is a unique player.
But if Devontae has stated he want to go to play with someone he knows, who does he know?
Sure.
Carr and Aaron. And Aaron basically is Adam Peters in New York. Hell, Aaron might be Josh Harris in New York, to be honest with you. Aaron making all the decisions. The coach just follow along with what Aaron says. They better hope it works because, you know, Aaron going to blame everybody else, never himself.
So Nino5 just tweeted me. He said, if you can give up the Jahan Dotson pick for Devontae Adams, I'd do that. You know what, Nino? I wouldn't argue with that. I just don't think that's what it's going to cost you.
If you mean just that third-round pick?
Yeah.
You think the Raiders are going to just take a third-round pick for Devontae Adams?
I don't think so.
See, I go back to Scott Jackson, used to do basketball, and this guy say, man, we could give up Peter John Ramos for Shaq. Who in the hell would trade Shaq for Peter John Ramos?
Right.
Just like I'll ask the question, who in the hell would trade Devontae Adams for a third-round pick? You have to think about what the people are going to want, man.
I'm also – whether – you know, one event in life should not necessarily impact the next event in life.
They do.
Well, you tell me if this is fair. After a summer spent having to watch Brandon Ayuk's Instagram page, I'm just over the, like, trade for a wideout discussion. This offense is top five in the league. They are moving the ball. Why disrupt that?
Just because
maybe you can make
you know
it better.
Why?
We say every day you got to try to get better, and I understand that.
I understand it.
But they're trying to get better long term, so giving up draft capital isn't part of that equation generally.
I think if you automatically know it's going to make things better, you do it. But I think sometimes when you make change, it does affect growth a little bit. And listen, can Devontae Adams play football? Hell yeah. But everybody that becomes free, we don't have to have. I recall coming here in 1990 where this team didn't want everybody else's stuff. Everybody wanted to get people off of this team. Now we are in a mold of every time anybody's free, okay, what team, losing team, winning team, wherever, we want them. No, make them want us, not we want them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to get to the point where, as fans here, I know what it's been for 20-plus years. But I have a great feeling that things ain't going to be like it was for the last 20, the next 20.
Landfill, good morning to the boys in the aquarium. Landfill's got an idea that honestly kind of makes sense, B. Landfill, why don't you
Landfill normally don't have ideas that
pitch,
make sense.
Pitch your joking, idea. Pitch your idea to B and see what he thinks.
I say that we call up the Raiders and we offer him De'Ami Brown and maybe like a 6th or 7th round pick for Devontae Adams. Who do you think says no to that trade?
The Raiders.
Come on.
Somebody else going to call them and offer something else, and they're going to take it.
Nah, De'Ami Brown.
People might be calling you a hater, B.
Yeah, they you're a hater,
they
B.
They want to call me.
You think he's a
First
hater?
First of all, I have never cared about what people think about me.
Are you taking him seriously right now? He's clearly joking.
No, I know he's joking, but my whole thing is.
Now, if Jeff had proposed that trade, it might be real.
I truly just feel like, man.
Hey, it didn't sound bad, laugh. It's like.
Of course. But Jeff, you get where I'm coming from. When you always think you need something that somebody else is discarding, means that you don't think that you have anything going on. You know what I mean? Eventually, you got to get to the point where you're comfortable with yourself instead of always wanting to go grab somebody else's cast-offs.
Well, dude, I
got dudes in college made livings off of always looking for seconds.
I'm going to just...
Just being real.
I'm just going to leave that alone. Yeah. Here's the other needs, at least probably a premium edge rusher, and you might have to pay for that. Sacks are the kind of position you have to pay
Hell
for.
Hell yeah.
It's like if you want power in baseball, you pay for power.
They have a 7-on-7 lead. They don't have a pass rush league. You got to find those.
Listen to me. Top 10. Now, we're only 4 games in, but the top 10 receivers in the NFL per receiving yards.
Mm-hmm.
Nico Collins at the top. Kid's almost at 500 yards.
Young,
but also not like a first rounder.
Yeah, but he's young.
Nico Collins, a third rounder on a rookie deal.
Okay.
Malik Nabers, first rounder, rookie deal.
Yep. Young.
DK got paid. Keep in mind, though, that's a second rounder. Young guy.
Mm-hmm.
Juwan Jennings, 7th rounder. Maybe that's
Jennings is kid in San Fran, right?
San Fran, right.
Okay. He's catching more than Ayuk.
I know. Justin Jefferson is a first rounder, just got paid. Jaden Reed, Packers, was a second rounder, has not been paid. Chris Godwin is 28, probably on his third contract, paid, but nothing
probably
outrageous. CeeDee Lamb, first rounder, paid. Goddard's a tight end, and then Ja'Marr Chase, 10th. My point is, if you zoom out and make this a top 20 thing, the receiver position has so much good young talent constantly coming out that you could build your team differently.
Yeah.
And I'm not
– I'm just –
Devontae Adams is a Hall of Fame player. He's really good. But once upon a time, he was a second rounder.
Just for once, I'm just hoping, and this is a hope. I'm just like the fans. I have my belief. They have their belief. Let's try doing it a different way. We've done the go after the stars from other teams and do all this and paid all the money, and it did no good. Let's just sit back and allow someone to come in, and let's see if this guy, who is probably, let's say Picasso, he comes in, and he's going to build us something that's going to be fantastic. Let's just try that once. And if it works, you know, everybody can have fun. If it doesn't, everybody can just start throwing darts at me.
Here's what we got cooking today. We are out in Ashburn. You will hear from Dan Quinn about 12:30. At 11 a.m., our boy Neil Greenberg, Lord knows he's going to stir the pot in some capacity. David Ubin from The Athletic will join us at 1 o'clock. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I'm saying that right. U-B-B-E-N. Oven?
Yes.
Like oven,
like,
but
like
with
nubbin?
A B.
Oven.
Oven, but a B. Oven.
David Ubin. Sure, I won't botch that.
It's two B's, dog, so it's probably going to be a, you know, low sound.
Here's a name I know and a name you know. John Thompson III joins us next.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. NFL Week 5 is here, and you can start with a chance for a big win on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. If you're new to FanDuel, you get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Listen, Thursday night football is coming up. The Buccaneers are taking on the Falcons, and I know people like to go out there and put the parlays in to try to get a big win. So let's go with Baker Mayfield. over passing yards. They're playing against the Falcons. Drake London, over receiving yards. I'll go with the under receiving yards. That's a very good defense back there with the Buccaneers. Bijan Robinson, an anytime touchdown, etc. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. What you hear is not a test. I'm repping to the
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan.
Is it going to try?
B, I thought about something.
See, I am the one, the mic, and I like to say hello.
I'm letting you go.
Go ahead.
I'm letting you go. I'm not interrupting that flow. You know, we talk about, like, sometimes I think fans throw just, like, phrases they've heard around a lot, mm-hmm. like a veteran restructure or, you know, rework that contract, those sorts mm-hmm. of things. But what I always explain is that the hard part of a veteran restructure is if a front office is going to go to a player, they have to be, and they're going to ask that player to restructure. Basically, they're asking him at best to rework how the money gets paid out, but a lot of times to take a pay cut.
And if you better be willing to lose him.
If you're asking someone to do that, you got to be ready to cut him.
Yeah.
Because they might say, nah, bleep you. We're going to switch gears real quick. We'll come back to that because we're very excited to welcome John Thompson III onto the program right now. We had reached out to JT3 earlier in the week, and John, thank you for making some time for us. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How y'all doing?
We're doing good, brother.
This
week we talk to you in better times. Say it like that.
Obviously, it's a rough week, and we wanted to reach out just to, you know, get your condolences and just to tell us a little bit about a legend in Dikembe Mutombo.
But before we get into him, I just want to say it's been, you know, a tough week for Georgetown basketball. Anthony Allen, who played in the early 90s, his funeral was on Friday. We hear about Dikembe on Monday. And yesterday, and B. Mitch, you remember this person, Lori Michaels, a longtime trainer that would sit with Pops at the games. Her funeral was yesterday. So it's been a really, really difficult week for the Georgetown basketball family. So I just want to send, as part of that family, I still want to send condolences and prayers to everyone involved.
Now,
we do the exact same, man.
The big fella. You know, Dikembe was special. Forget the basketball part. And that's what the casual fan or most people go to. It's him as the player. You know, but the person and, you know, I just the pride. Like, that jumps out at me. Like, from the first time I met, like, he pulls those shoulders. He's already 7 feet, 7'1", whatever. Pulls those shoulders back and he struts. And there's just always been a pride about everything that he has been involved with. You know, from his country, his family, Georgetown, the teams he played with. And he's a giving, giving person. You know, the NBA made him the ambassador. But he would have done that anyway, just because of who he is.
John, when you think about Dikembe, I have, like, two distinct memories. As a kid, watching him play at Georgetown with Alonzo, and then as a pro, when he's laying down on the court holding that ball over his head after the Nuggets, the 8th seed Nuggets, I think, knocked out the 1 seed Sonics. I imagine for you, knowing him on such a different level than me just watching him as a basketball player, are there memories for you that really stick out of who Dikembe was and what he accomplished?
Yeah, two main ones. I happen to be in the gym when Dikembe got off the plane and first arrived on campus. And so, you know, Pops had been talking about, and I'd seen film, and Pops had been talking about this guy. And he walks in the gym. He's got his dashiki on. He picks up the ball. This is McDonough. Goes over to the side court and goes up to dunk. First time he touched the ball in McDonough. You're mm-hmm. stuck on a rim and falls. This is a true story. I look over at Pops is ready to put him back on the plane and send him back. that for me personally, I can't get that out of my head. And then the other thing is, I remember sitting in the office, in Pop's office, when Dikembe was talking about the hospital he wanted to build in his mother's name, back home. And that sums him up. I mean, he's a giving person, a selfless person, one who wanted to uplift everyone around him. And not just wanted to, he did. Big heart. And just I remember the pride as he was. And Pops was initially, it was like, man, are you crazy? Like, how are you going to accomplish that when you live here? You're not there. But just the pride in which he talked about that project. And then to see that come to fruition. And just how happy he was and honored he was to do that.
You know, you say he was like this. He's a giving person, but he had that deep voice, you know. And wherever, every time I was in a room with him, you knew that he was in the room, no matter how close he was to you, that big laugh. But when he got here and he had to deal with the voice of Pops, how did he deal with somebody that had a much more roaring voice than he had?
Well, Dikembe was a lot of things. Stupid is not one of them. and you're correct. I mean, he had that deep, deep baritone voice that you always felt him. You knew he was ever present. But you know, from that time he got up off the floor after missing that dunk, he knew who the boss was. that was not. Brian, as you know, that's not hard to figure out if Pop's in the room, who's in charge.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Totally, man.
Were you at all surprised as time went on, maybe not by his basketball career? And, I mean, he Hall of Famer, 8-time All-Star, 4-time Defensive Player of the Year, which is really pretty incredible. I feel like that is probably a record. But what he was able to accomplish post-basketball?
No, in his basketball accolades, so I go back to the early years. His first year, he was ineligible to play. He was basically learning English. And and in his choppy English, he played intramurals at Georgetown his first year. And he thought he was accomplishing something because he was up at the Yates Fieldhouse scoring 40 and 50 points, you know, at 7-2 in intramurals. Like he thought he was doing work. and so I tell that story to say, like, incredible belief in himself. And someone who eventually, you know, as a pro in Denver, the first couple of years, you know, Dikembe thought he was an offensive force. They were giving him the ball. And, you know, but who realized he was going to hang his hat. He's going to earn his money on defense and rebounding. And him accepting that and embracing that led to the accolades you just mentioned. Outside of basketball, no, I'm not surprised because he realized, you know, a lot of people who play for Pops, who play for every coach, you know, you learn lessons from your coach, from your teachers. And people learn, many people learn that basketball is a vehicle to accomplish other things. Dikembe got off that plane understanding that, and he understood that he had a higher calling or could make a difference, you know, for a lot of people in Africa. And he wanted to. There was a desire to. And so that was not something he learned at Georgetown. But he arrived with that drive. And so it always was about others for him and how he could help. And he touched so many lives. He touched so many lives on so many different continents. It's just, he had a great, he's going to be sorely missed.
Absolutely. John, thank you for making time for us.
Appreciate
man.
You, Jay.
We appreciate, we know how busy you are. I know Wiz season's getting going here, and you're a busy dude. So thank you very much. We just wanted to honor Dikembe appropriately. Yeah.
Appreciate you, brother. Tell the family, say what's up.
I will, thanks.
All right, man.
John Thompson III, one of the classiest dudes that lives in this city. I've told you the story about JT3.
I would love to have been in that gym.
Oh, my God. You know what's kind of crazy is, have you ever heard like kind of the stories of Roy Hibbert when he got to Georgetown and how much like development went in?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, huge guys. It sounds maybe not necessarily similar, but similar track. JT3, when I was a student at Georgetown, did not need to, but I was trying to write something. And he finally, like, I waited after practice and he saw me and he's like, oh, shoot, I'm supposed to talk to you, right? And I was like, if you don't mind. And he gave me 10 minutes. We walked up the stairs, walked to his office. This was unaffiliated. I was just writing for school. And that kind of stuff always sticks with you. I've always loved JT3 for that. Class act. Neil Greenberg joins us at 11.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. With the record heat this summer, I know your air conditioner took a beating and your current brand is not cutting it through this humidity. So now's the time to switch to Rood. Take advantage of Rood's $2,000 tax credits. And Maryland residents, you can even score exclusive rebates from Rood. I personally switched my house over to Rood, and the difference is night and day. So trust me and visit Rood.com to find your savings. That's Rood.com to see why they're the MVP of cooling. And remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
Thank you to John Thompson III for joining us there. There's a picture going around right now. It's pretty damn special. Have you seen this, B?
Oh, yeah.
Doug Williams posted to Instagram a picture of him, Michael Vick, and Jaden Daniels.
That's sweet right there.
I saw Jaden posted the Vick jersey, a signed Vick jersey on his Instagram. I don't know what the occasion was that Vic was in the building. Maybe he's calling the game this weekend. Landville, see if you can figure that out. Maybe Mike Vick is now working with Fox and is working the game.
He
this
does
weekend.
Some stuff with Fox.
I'm pretty sure it's Greg Olson.
So if it's Greg Olson this weekend, maybe Mike Vick does pre or post or something.
Possibly.
I don't know. My guess is so they. The Commanders then tweeted out the photo of Jaden, Doug, and Mike Vick, and it says this Sunday on NFL on Fox. There's somebody I can text to figure that out, but I'm not going to text while I'm on the air, Landfill, because I'm locked in, baby.
Right. That's a lie, bro.
You can stop that lie right now, dude.
I mean, as you sit there and play Candy Crush.
Nope. Uh-huh.
What are you, checking your email?
Yeah, I just had something popped up, trying to check it. Bro, multitask, that's what I do.
Now, listen, I will
play Candy Crush before the show's over.
Oh, you'll play it before the segment's over. I've coined the hashtag No Fade in Jaden. I'm not going to be scared off by this. Troy Macker's a friend of the program. He does social media for one of the betting websites. Right now he says 84% of the money is split on the Commanders and the Browns. It's a strong public spread play, right?
Mm-hmm.
But 7.6%. Hold on, I'm trying to figure this out. 84% of the money is on the Commanders to cover against the Browns. So that's a lot of cash.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me a little nervous when Vegas desperately needs one side. But who cares about the spread, you know?
Yeah.
The one thing I wanted to go back to with Davante Adams is if they're saying that they're considering trading him, means they're trading him.
Exactly.
Like, what they're considering is trying to slow this thing down so they can still have some leverage.
Yeah.
Because when your coach likes an Instagram post that says he's played his last game for the Raiders, you're not in a great situation there.
And they haven't talked, those two.
Right.
Which means it's probably that ship has probably sailed.
Now, presumably, they got to talk today because they're back at practice. It'll be fascinating.
I've been at practice and never talked to my coach.
Fair. Especially because, I mean, AP's hands-on with the defensive side of the ball. But what would be really interesting is if we get to – now, the Raiders are out west, so that injury report will come out later. But, like, what if all of a sudden it's like DNP illness, DNP rest, like DNP –
You know what that means? That means protecting – Our asset, not letting him get hurt. That's
DNP finger. You know what I mean? Like, if he doesn't practice and it's some kind of injury that seems a little unheard of.
A little weird.
It's probably a little unheard of. All right. Thank you to Heather McDonough. Michael Vick is on the 11 a.m. Fox pregame show with Carissa Thompson and some other people.
Are they going
to
be here?
Don't know that answer.
We're going to start to have the networks come set up because they want to be close to this thing. They don't know what's happening.
My gut tells me, and again, I don't know, that maybe Vic came to do an interview. Could and be. They, you know, kind of tape it in advance to show on the pregame show this weekend.
I did an event with Mike earlier this year.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. But didn't you do a Super Bowl?
No, me, Mike, and Hester.
Where were you? I remember that.
It was in Tampa area. We did this thing for the flag football.
That's right.
Yeah.
What is when you think about Michael Vick, what do you think about his career?
What's the little thing when you don't complete it?
Incomplete.
Bam. But I think you saw how great he could have been early on. He had a situation, and he came back, and then Andy Reid got him to a point where he was a passer. Like, I always felt like when he was in Atlanta, they were lazy as coaches. They just put a guy out there with extra talent and say, when things happen, if something breaks down, make something happen. Andy Reid made him become a passer.
Yeah. He's talked about in Atlanta, he didn't put the time in either.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when you can really look back and wonder what might have been, could have been. I mean,
if Andy had caught him in his rookie season.
Sure.
Bruh.
Who was it? It was that dude's son, Jim Mora Jr.?
Yeah.
So it was Dan Reeves when he first got to the pros, and then they hired Jim Mora Jr., I believe.
Mm-hmm. You said that dude's son.
I wasn't trying to be rude. Yeah, Jim Mora. I remember when he broke his leg. He was on the cover of Madden and then broke his leg. It was like a huge deal. And then obviously everything happened with the dogs and all that. I think incomplete's a good one. I'd say like unfulfilled. The folks that never saw him, like I don't know if like how much Jeff remembers seeing a guy like Mike Vick. You were just so young. But dude, you remember him at Virginia Tech? It was like,
bro,
it was unbelievable.
It was like... Like being that guy, just like the guys they spending on football. Why don't they spend? They spending Madden. He was unbelievable at Virginia Tech, dog. He just took over games by himself,
dude. He was
all the time.
I mean, that national championship game against Florida State. That Florida State team was loaded, and the Hokies had Vic, and he brought them all the way back. I mean, it was his. The arm strength and then the running ability was just outrageous. And him talking to Jaden, I think, would be really interesting. But you know what perhaps is the best part about Jaden? And DQ mentioned this the other day.
Mm-hmm.
He said something to the effect of, this isn't an accident. He works his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that understanding. Dude, because even when Robert was here, he didn't. Kirk worked his ass off but didn't have the natural talent, certainly mm-hmm. the athleticism, the running ability to do more.
They
things.
Didn't have a meeting room for him to have neither. So he had to go to the classroom.
Right. But like Kirk had to work at it. He became better. If you go all the way back to 2014, when it was like a 3-way competition between Kirk, Colt, and Robert, if Colt could have just stayed healthy, he probably wins that job. You know, like, Kirk worked hard as hell, got better and better. Jaden comes in good as hell and is working at the highest clip possible for a rookie or really for a quarterback. And that's how you win. That's how you win big.
Everyone that has come to me asking me questions about him, my exact thing is, I don't know how good he's going to be. But I can tell you that he's doing everything he can to be great, which means that it's not a guarantee when you put in the work, but if you don't put in the work, the guarantee is that you're not going to be that good.
What I've
but
said,
the kid puts all the work in.
What I've said for months about Jaden is, you never know what's going to happen on the field. Things happen on the field. It's a crazy game, but the dude, the person, you can absolutely believe in.
Yeah,
you can absolutely believe.
But that's the whole thing. When you can believe in the person, you know the person going to do the things that's necessary to put himself in the best position to succeed. He's doing that. And he's getting out of it what he's putting into it. But like you said, this is a crazy game.
Another person that gets out of it what he puts into it, Neil Greenberg joins us next.
Neil.